got a lot to cover here. Let's make sure our sound looks good. Sound check looks solid.
Sound check. Mic check.
You're looking loud today. You're looking loud.
I like the position of the mic.
We're doing a bit of a debate show. We're going to be talking some debate topics here. So that's one of the things we're going at. We're going to talk the rookie QB rankings because me and Uncle Clint have been going back and forth on text.
Fourth!
Caden, you've been kind of quiet.
Fourth!
We're going to talk about that Heisman Trophy. I know the voting's in. Caden and I already went through this, but we're going to bring that back up without a doubt. We're going to talk about NFL MVP. We know who that is already. We're going to talk about that.
Mahomes.
I also want to debate the next Bears coach, who you guys think it should be, and see if we can get into a little dialogue on that one.
You know, Lamar.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I want to debate it. I want to talk about Ricky Henderson as well. You know, we lost him too early, and he deserves some talk about it. I think he might have been the – until he passed, obviously, the greatest living Hall of Famer. Not baseball player, because you got Bonds and guys like that. But if you look at the greatest living Hall of Fame baseball players, he may have been the guy, man. He really has some unbelievable statistics when you look at Ricky's career. And then we're going to finish it off with the pick six. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right. I missed that we're going to talk about your fantasy stuff, too, because we haven't had you on last couple pods. So we are going to cover some fantasy stuff, but I want to start off with some of these debate topics. And the first thing that we'll start off with is going to be the rookie QBs. I mean, for me, you guys know where I stand. I pretty much think that they drafted it the way it would draft today. I really think that way. I think Caleb's won, and I know that everybody is on this Daniels train. I don't see it. I think Daniels is too small. I think Daniels is going to get hurt a lot. I think Daniels got a little nicked up this year, and it's when he was nicked up, you saw four or five games consecutive where he did not play very good.
Jaden Daniels' team, I think, won four games last year. They've already won 10 this year. The Bears won 7 last year and are not even going to win that many this year with the rookie quarterback, who has a lot more talent on his team than the other guy had. You know, you can't just continue to keep blaming this on the coaching staff and the offensive line. Here's a perfect example. You blame all the problems on Eberflus. You fire Eberflus, your defense stinks. The team's worse now than they were before with Eberflus there. They're worse without Eberflus.
The organization is broken, and I'm not arguing that. I'm telling you right now, I'll take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels all day. That's just the way I feel about it. I don't think he hasn't shown, like this last game, they're all tough. He threw 5 touchdown passes, another game-winning drive. He threw a pick that should have ended the game for his team. He threw a terrible pass off his back foot over the middle of the field. No one's talking about
Caleb it. Caleb doesn't throw those because he spends too much time holding on the ball getting sacked.
You said it. You're right.
That's why he doesn't throw.
You're right. Caleb doesn't throw picks. And I think that's pretty
important.
He doesn't
because he spends more time getting set than sack
rookie,
record.
A man. Rookie quarterback that hasn't thrown a pick in 9 games is pretty impressive. I mean, he's and his accuracy is getting better. He misses some reads. Everything I see wrong with Caleb is correctable. It's all correctable. He does hold on to the ball too long. You're right. He does. But again, that's correctable. These are things he can work on. He's missing some guys in the middle field. He's missing some reads. These are rookie things.
Well,
but man, does this dude have a freaking laser for an arm. And man, is he athletic. He's athletic. He can do it all. He can throw from all angles. I just think he's the total package. And I think if the Bears can get it right organizationally and actually put together a real team with a real coaching staff who's got a great offensive coordinator, a great defensive coordinator, a head coach that knows how to put a team together and limit the penalties and know how to manage the clock and do all these things. You put all those things together. Even this year, you put those things together, just give them somebody that can manage clock correctly, they'd have 3 or 4 more wins.
The problem is there's not that many good coaches and GMs out there that you can get to be able to put that together. I mean, the Andy Reid's and the Belichick's and those guys are pretty much gone now. There's not a lot of them guys out there.
Well, I feel like it was really impressive the way he bounced back. But you got to score some points in the first half. Like, they're not scoring any points in the first half. I feel like I like to see that Caleb's running the ball. I feel like he's having other, like, aspects of success, but I don't know. I just don't feel like he's playing winning football.
I can tell you another flop. I first came on here and said the Bears' next head coach would be the guy that they got now. That's complete false information. That guy will not be the head coach.
Yeah, no.
Of the Bears next year.
No. Well, thank God.
Out. Guy's out. The problem is you try to make something, just like you kind of did with Eberflus, you kind of make a guy that's not cut out to be a head coach, a head coach. Eberflus is a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, for sure.
Leave the guy be a defensive coordinator and get a head coach.
Without just burying the Bears again, I'm focused on Caleb. I still think Daniels, for me, they're 1-2 for sure. Daniels is going to win Rookie of the Year, no doubt about
even
it.
Even though Nick's is my guy, I would probably take Caleb over Nick Steed.
Daniels deserves.
Maybe Drake May, but May start playing good ball.
Daniels deserves Rookie of the Year, for sure. I'm not even debating that. I think he deserves it. I think that he played better, his team played better. I'm just talking about, if you're giving me a guy, I'm still taking Caleb Williams. I mean, from what I saw this year, I mean, he's done some things with his arm. And that rocket he threw to Keenan Allen the other day, he just does some things where you just go, goodness.
Well, like, there's things that you like about it, but also just feel like, I don't feel like it's consistent enough. Like, I don't know.
You're not going to be consistent as a rookie with a team
the
like
thing
this.
That, the thing that...
We can't get off, Caleb. We can't get off.
The thing that concerned me the most about Williams was the Thanksgiving Day game. I don't care if your head coach doesn't call a timeout.
Yeah,
you have to have enough football sense in that situation to know, I'm the quarterback. I got to make a play here.
Well, he could have called a timeout.
That was ridiculous.
But that play was the ultimate indicator that there's complete organizational failure. When you can't figure out with 40 seconds left, how to get a playoff and how to put it into play. Caleb have done something different?
I think Jaden Daniels in that situation would have handled it totally differently. I think he would have either
Jaden Daniels would, it would never be on Jaden Daniels' shoulders to call the timeout because he has a coaching staff that knows what they're doing. That's the whole point. It's not supposed to be on Caleb's shoulders to make that timeout. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah,
the
well,
coach
first
needs
of all,
to set
first
that
of
up.
All, I feel like you, yeah, like you said, you can't get sacked. But also, I feel like before that, they should not even be passing it. It should be neither like a short, quick pass.
They had a play
set up. That's playing for the title.
They
could have been playing for the win.
They said in 18, Eberflus explained it. In 18 seconds, we're supposed to snap the ball. I had an out route set up for the guys to run to the sideline to stop the clock. I don't know why the ball didn't get snapped in 18 seconds.
I don't know either. But I'll tell you this. So I got Daniels 2. I got May 3. I think May looks good. I mean, I think May looks good. I think this is a great quarterback class. Unfortunately, I think, and again, the kid hasn't had time to prove himself, but the one miss might be J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I'm telling you, look at this. I mean, Penix. Penix looked awesome.
Facing the Giants.
First, it doesn't matter. It's his first start in the NFL, middle of the season, and the guy looked good.
Well,
Penix
just think
was
about,
accurate.
I was just thinking
they got like,
they
got 20 first downs in the game. Penix looked really good. For me, it goes May, Penix, then McCarthy. What were you going to say, Kaden? Go ahead.
I was thinking.
What about Nix?
Did I not have Nix in there? No, Nix is a Nix, Penix. So Caleb, Jaden, May, Nix, Penix, McCarthy.
Because
it's
I mean,
pretty
every,
close.
Every one of these guys, except Williams, has improved their team.
Yeah.
Every guy.
Yeah.
Except
well,
Caleb.
Again, Nix. He's in, you know, he's in the perfect circumstance, man. Going to Peyton, Nick's looked like he couldn't tie his shoes to start the year, and he's got a coaching staff that plays to his strengths, just like Daniels does, and the team has seen results because of it. I mean, the Washington Commanders thing, this is fool's gold, dude. They're going to get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. You watch a lot of lucky wins for that team. I mean, the stuff that has had to go right for them, from the Bears' Hail Mary to this game last week with Devontae Smith dropping a pass right in his hands. There was other two or three other games where they got lucky. I think they're going to get – that ship is going to go down early come playoff time. But, again, I think when you compare this rookie class of quarterbacks to what's coming in, I think this class of quarterbacks is going to be one that goes down in history as really top-notch.
Oh, yeah, because next year you only got Sanders and one other guy, I think, and that's it.
Well, it's Cam Ward, you know, Cam Ward, and I'm not sold. I don't know that I'm sold on Sanders at all. You know, that'll be another topic for later on, but I just don't think you don't have the guys coming.
Deion Sanders had went to a couple teams and told them that Hunter intends to play both ways in the pros. And
we'll get on that topic when we jump to Heisman.
To me, that guy played phenomenal on both sides of the football this year.
You guys want to debate the Heisman? We'll debate the Heisman. I mean, I know you're a Hunter guy, and I know Uncle Clint, I heard from you, you're a Hunter guy. To me, I said my piece before, and I'll say it again. Ashton Jeanty should have hands down won the award. 2,500 yards, over 30 touchdowns. When Ashton Jeanty played, he was the number one target for the other team's defense week in, week out. And he came to town and carried the ball 25-30 times. I hope
they play Georgia.
He's already played against good teams.
You know, he hasn't played against a team that's got lights out defense.
He's played against good teams already.
He'll get 50 yards rushing against Georgia.
And you might be right. Because you know why? You know why? Because he doesn't really have that great offensive line. Look at his numbers. The dude busts big runs every single game. He's got more 50-plus yard touchdowns this season than any other team, any other college football team. That's the type of year he had. The guy deserves a credit when they played. They played two. They played three top 25 games. They didn't play a lot of good teams. Neither did Travis Hunter, by the way.
Colorado, look at the strength of schedule.
They are very close in strength of schedule. Colorado was a little bit stronger strength of schedule, okay? But they didn't play any team as good as Oregon, not even close. Travis Hunter's receiving stats were heavily padded late in the season. They were throwing touchdowns to him when they were up by three, four touchdowns.
It's not heavily padded. It's called he's being the guy that's being, it's getting open.
No, he was sold as a Heisman Trophy guy. Deion was purposefully targeting him and pumping up his numbers so they could sell him as the Heisman Trophy guy. He wasn't the best corner in college football. He wasn't the best wide receiver in college football. He was really good at both. The guy had a great season.
If he would have concentrated on playing one position, he would have been so far superior at it than anybody else in the college game.
Like who?
He would have been the best wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, well, who else was so far superior that focused on one thing?
If he just played that good.
But I'm just saying, who else was far superior that focused on one thing? Ashton Jeanty, by far, almost had the best running back season in the history.
That just shows Hunter still won the Heisman and he plays both ways.
What are you saying? I don't understand. What I'm telling you is what Uncle Clint's saying is if he only played one way, he'd have been the top guy at one of those spots. That's what Jeanty was. And Jeanty, every week, you knew that's where they were going. That's the well they were going to go to every single game.
That's not what they were saying.
And that dude got it done. 200 yards against Oregon and three touchdowns. I mean, the guy just.
That was their first game.
Look, this guy. It doesn't matter what game it was.
They didn't know how good he was.
Well, he was good. Let me tell you. Okay. That's what I'm saying. And
I guarantee if Oregon adjusts to like the other teams, or Oregon could have stopped them.
Just like in the pros.
No one stopped them.
To me, him in the pros, I think he'll do good against Penn State. I think Georgia will buy.
I don't think he'll do good against Penn State. Because my point is that he was the best player in college football. The guy that you guys are arguing
for... If he doesn't do good against Penn State, then maybe he's not that good. Well, he should do good against
Let me explain the difference between him and your guy. Your guy is done. Your guy gets to play in some meaningless bowl game because his team wasn't good enough with supposedly two top five NFL draft picks on it. Him and his quarterback, okay? Any team that's got two top five draft picks on it, why are they 8-3? Why are they losing to Kansas, a sub-500 team, which would have got them into the college playoff?
Did you watch the game?
Yes. What do you mean did I watch the game?
The refs lost the game.
What does that mean? They lost the game against a sub-500 team. The refs didn't do anything. Colorado will get pushed through into the playoffs because of the social media buzz that Deion Sanders has created. That's what I'm saying.
That was probably the most poorly officiated college
season.
Exactly.
Kansas had more yellow flags than
any team I was seeing. Sanders had his knees taken out.
Kansas won a game they had no business even being in. Okay, and every time they played a tough game, they lost the game. Nebraska loss. They couldn't beat a quality team when they had to. Boise State had to play UNLV twice, which was a ranked team. They took them out. They took UNLV to the or they took Oregon to the wire, which nobody else did. Ashton Jeanty deserved the award. He just, like I said, he's still got a chance. He's actually got a chance to top Barry's yardage record.
Yeah, let's see how he does after a good team actually knows what he's going to do.
I think he does good against Penn State.
I don't know if he's going to. Looking at the way his season went, he almost always, when he played good teams, he needed to bust a big one. If he doesn't bust a big one, he's not going to have a good game. I mean, but he has. In almost every game, he's busted 50-plus yard runs.
But like me, I look at these guys at the next level, too. Jeanty don't have breakaway speed.
I don't know that he's going to be a good pro. And I'll speak to this as well. I don't think Hunter's going to be a good pro either.
Yes.
I really don't. I don't think he's not big enough to be a wide receiver.
I think he's going to play both ways.
He's not, and he will not play both ways. Here's my thing is, I don't think he's going to be a standout on either end. And I don't really think in college, again, he wasn't playing top tier competition week in and week out. You made that argument against Genty. Is Travis Hunter facing
he
the
chose
best?
To go to
is
Colorado.
Is he facing the best wide receivers?
He chose to go to
I'm asking as a DB. Is he facing the best wide receivers week in week out?
I don't think so.
No, he's not. Not at Colorado. You're not. You'd be, maybe
he's
if you
playing the best guy on the other team.
Maybe that might be
what?
True. But what I'm saying is that Colorado's not playing a tough like a Georgia schedule, for example. Okay.
Well, nobody played Georgia's schedule.
My point.
Right.
My point and being. My point being schedule. Is he was set up. If you can't really argue that Genty was set up for it any more than you can argue
right.
Travis Hunter was. I mean, he's also receiver wise. He's not playing against top end DBs on the other end.
No, he's not.
They're not playing top teams. I mean, so that's my thing. Is like. If the argument's going to be taken away from Genty because they didn't play top competition, then you need to start looking at maybe some guys like the running back from Tennessee, I think it was, that had a really big year. The quarterback from Oregon. I mean, that dude's playing top flight competition. He had a fantastic year. You know what I mean? But I just think it's a rare
year. I'm interested with Georgia's quarterback going down to see if they can still hold up. I mean, they lost their starting quarterback.
I know, but that guy's iffy. That guy's iffy. They just need to see if they can find somebody to fit that gap. Because
he made some big plays for that team though. He made
I know,
big,
yeah, you're right. It'll
big,
that'll be
big plays.
That'll be interesting to see.
But Georgia's defense is their staple, it always has been. I mean Georgia's a defensive stalwart. I think a team that can make some serious noise and people think I'm nuts. Notre Dame, they got the winning recipe. Run the football, play defense.
I got
Notre
the winning recipe.
Notre Dame can do both of them.
Well, I knew that at the end of the day, Hunter was going to get it. That was kind of an afterthought. People pretty much do that. But I will say I was happy for from the voting standpoint. Genty got a lot of love in the voting. They said it was the closest Heisman vote since 2009. So I was happy to see that because I'm thinking, man, if this kid gets wiped out with the season that he had, I mean, it was a memorable season. I mean,
how short he is. Oh, like 5 foot.
Yeah, he's like 5'9", 5'10", but he's stout.
Big, he's like 250.
He's stout. But,
Barry Sanders type body.
But again, I agree with you from a pro standpoint. He doesn't have like a Saquon Barkley type of speed. He doesn't have the size of a Derrick Henry. I mean, I'm not saying he won't be solid. I think he can be a solid pro. But I mean, he doesn't have like that characteristic that's like just, you know, over the top. He doesn't have any one of those extreme skills.
If you're a linebacker, you don't want to have to try and tackle a guy like Derrick Henry every week.
No.
You don't want to have to get in that guy's way. That's a big load coming in.
Speaking of guys that you don't want to tackle, my choice for NFL MVP, Josh Allen. Now, this guy, for some reason, you have this vendetta against Josh Allen that you just can't stand this guy. This guy is one of the hardest working football players in the league, week in, week out, man.
I will say this year his turnovers are way down.
He's not making the same mistakes.
He is looking a lot better. His turnovers are way down. But
when you look at
against a team like New England, if you're going to be the MVP, you go into New England and you do what Lamar Jackson did to the New York Giants. You pound those guys into submission instead of just barely squeezing by on a 3-point win. In a game that you shouldn't be doing about 15 or 20.
Dude, but when Mahomes gets a win, he always finds a way to win. When Allen goes out and gets one, he should have played better. He should have done this. He's playing in 0 degrees out there in Buffalo. He's playing in snow games.
That should put him in an advantage.
And it is. They're winning. Week in and week out, they're winning with that guy at the top. And again, talent-wise.
My steak dinner is definitively safe this year. Buffalo is not going to.
I don't know how you could think it's definitively safe. None of these teams stand out.
Safe.
All these teams have had stinkers. And if you're riding that hat on anybody other than Mahomes,
safe.
I would highly question you because Lamar, he still does some iffy things late in games.
Stalwart.
Who's keeping Allen out of the Super Bowl?
Double deuce. Derrick Henry, Baltimore Ravens.
You're still going.
They're
going
to continue to give him the rock 25. If they don't give him the rock 25 to 30 times a game, they're not going to win. They need to give him the ball 25 to 30 and let the man do his job. In December, he's one of the most devastating running backs out there. He averages 5.5 to 6 yards a carry in the month of December. Keep hammering him with the football.
They've already shown that they're not going to do that. He's not consistent with it with Henry. Sometimes Harbaugh falls in love with other stuff. They don't give Henry the ball enough. Look at what happened to their run game in the postseason last year.
The way I look at it.
Go ahead, Caden. Caden's got something.
Well, I was just looking at, I really like Derrick Henry, but part of me doesn't trust neither Lamar Jackson. I don't trust a lot of stuff from the Ravens, but neither Lamar Jackson, the wide receiver core, and the coaching. When you look at last year in the playoffs, they played against, I think it was the, who did they beat in the playoffs? The Texans?
If you use Derrick Henry the way you're supposed to use Derrick Henry, he can manage the clock for you single-handed.
Who eliminated him last year when they only ran the ball?
Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City.
Texans, I think they beat the Texans. The running game was a big part, and then they just totally go away with the running game. Against
they
the
didn't
Chiefs.
Have Henry last year. Well, he's not going to make that same mistake twice. That's why they went out and got Derrick.
There's been games this year where it's been kind of a slight decrease for no reason.
There's a lot of question marks out there. Number one, I don't fully trust Lamar. I trust Josh Allen. I don't trust Buffalo's defense. Buffalo's defense.
What about Henry? You trust
is very
Henry?
Iffy. I do trust Henry, but again, he's a running back. You can trust Saquon Barkley. You don't know that he's going to get the ball. And you don't know, Saquon Barkley, again, sometimes big moments when he needs to catch a big ball out of the backfield, little slippery. He gets the butterfingers. He did it in New York. He just did it the other day in Philadelphia. You got to watch that with Saquon. Some of these guys, you don't know. One thing I know about Henry is he's always going to get positive yardage, and he's not going to fumble the football. And that's what I really like about him. I can't say the same thing for his quarterback. His quarterback doesn't throw a lot of picks. Lamar's been really good with the ball through the air, but Lamar still makes iffy decisions. He fumbles sometimes. Sometimes he tries to go get extra yardage.
And he leads Allen pretty much in every statistical offensive category.
Other than particular really big one, which is rushing touchdowns,
right.
Where Allen, I think, has 12 or something right. like that.
But, Lamar's got more passing yardage, more touchdowns, less interceptions.
Yeah.
He's putting up another MVP type season.
I think that the other difference is, besides Allen being kind of the everything for his team, meaning that when it comes time to put it in the end zone, whether it's through the air or on the ground,
he's
usually
like the
number
guy,
one guy.
He's definitely better this year with the turnovers than he is.
He's been really good with the ball, and he doesn't have a Derrick Henry. Well, he's got Cook, but he doesn't have a Derrick Henry. They don't use Cook the way they should.
You're talking about like Derrick Henry where you're like, yeah, you do not want to run into him, especially in cold weather. You do not want to run into Josh Allen.
I know, dude. When Josh Allen's coming up the middle of the field, I think guys are thinking, please slide. Slide.
And he doesn't slide.
And he doesn't always. Sometimes he slides, and I think that they're very thankful, because if it's defensive backs, like if there's a Travis Hunter, when he comes to the league and he decides and he's mano-a-mano with Josh Allen, he's going to think twice. It's different. The league is the top dogs, man, and Allen is a beast.
Again,
Buffalo's defense, when you have 6 touchdowns in a game and you lose, Allen had 3 through the air, 3 on the
Caleb
ground.
Caleb not shake Darnold's hand at the end of that game?
I did not see that.
Darnold went up to him and Caleb said, no, I'm not shaking.
Why would he do that? What's the problem with Darnold? They got some kind of issue
former
with
USC quarterbacks.
Oh, really?
So Darnold.
I don't know anything about
Darnold
that.
Darnold supposedly was telling him, good game, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
This and that. He went to shake his hand and Caleb pulled back and brushed him off.
Speaking of Sam Darnold, 31 touchdown passes. I heard this just the other day. 31 touchdowns against 12
picks. That guy is the coach of the year right there. That coach for the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell.
He's having a heck of a year. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. The guy's having a heck of a year.
J.J. McFlap, he's not going to be getting on the field.
Yeah, that don't look good. Hey, last debate topic. Bears coach. I am on the record. My number one choice is Mike Vrabel.
Ben Johnson.
It's not even close. He got run out of Tennessee. They took away all his assets. When he had the tools in Tennessee, he took him deep. He took him to AFC Championship. He was a coach of the year.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want an offensive guy. I want a coach that's a defensive guy.
I want Vrabel. That's what Vrabel is. No. But Vrabel, you had a defensive coordinator. We're talking about a defensive coach that can hire the pieces around him.
Correct.
Let's not forget who Vrabel hired. His first year in Tennessee, he hired Matt LaFleur as his offensive coordinator, unknown, sight unseen.
The problem is, though, too, is Eberflus didn't hire his guys. They stuck him with that offensive coordinator this year.
Doesn't matter.
What I'm saying is the head coach should be allowed to pick his coaches.
Yes. This guy, this deal, when I say Vrabel, I'm talking about a clean sweep. I'm talking about if
Vrabel comes in and brings all his guys with.
I'm not coming to Chicago unless they let me bring everybody I want. If I'm Vrabel and if I'm any coach, I got to be able to bring all the goodies. And I like the guy from Detroit. I like him, Ben Johnson, right?
Yeah.
I can never get his name right. It's the most basic name, but Ben Johnson. I like him, but I don't want to take the risk on another, like, a hotshot type coordinator that's never run the show before. I think he could be great, but it's different being, like, look at the Lions this year, being the big guy up top and being that coordinator where you can focus on trick plays and focus just on the offense. It's different when you got to be the main guy for an organization. So he would be my second choice. And then after that, they were talking about the guy that, who's the guy that got kicked out of Miami? Flores?
I love that guy.
That guy's I think he's kind of like the third candidate.
I like that.
I think if the Bears don't make a hard push on Vrabel, that's a major mistake that they're going
to
make.
I think they're going to go back to Flores.
They could. I wouldn't be. That's not terrible.
Flores, okay, great defense.
I'm just saying. I think. Yeah, because every time I try to talk, you yell at me. So I think that Ben Johnson is going to be a coach. I think that he's going to be a very good coach, but I think he's going to go to a team that needs time to win. Right now, the Bears want to win now, and I don't think that's the best place for Ben Johnson. I think he needs a couple of years to really not have a lot of pressure and just kind of settle in and find his guy. So I think he probably goes to a team like the Raiders or like a rebuilding team, because if he can get comfortable with not a lot of pressure and when teams are ready to win, he's going to be a guy that can lead them like Dan Campbell can.
Uncle Clint looks like the mic's got him held hostage over there. Look at that. He doesn't want to have the
mic in this position right here.
He doesn't want to have to adjust it, so he's kind of moving his body like a prisoner where he can't. Now, did you see the play? This is before we get to your fantasy stuff, because that's next. Did you see the stumble bum, what they're calling the stumble bum? The guy from Detroit, Ben Johnson, he saw in the Bears game against Green Bay that Jaden Daniels fumbled the ball. And when he fumbled the ball, he picked it up and threw a touchdown against the Bears. And he saw that all the Bears guys were out of position and undisciplined as soon as that ball touched the ground. So he went to Jared Goff this week and he asked him, he said, Jared, can you fumble the ball to yourself? And Jared Goff said, no, I'm not letting go of the football. No way. He goes, all right, so we're going to pretend like you fumble it. So they come up with this play where Goff pretends to fall down. And then you can hear it on the snap. If you're watching the game, you can hear that all the Detroit guys go, ball, ball, ball. They practice this. Like the ball was on the ground. Gibbs falls down like he's getting the ball. There's no ball on the ground. So Goff pretends to fall and fumble. Gibbs pretends to go after the ball. There's no fumble. Goff turns around and throws a strike to LaPorta for a touchdown. It was a planned. It was another one of Detroit's trick plays is what it was. Except it was like.
Ben fell for it.
The stumble bum. They called it the stumble bum. Goff pretends. Yes, Goff pretends to fall down. Jahmyr Gibbs pretends to go for the fumble that's not even on the ground. Detroit's players are yelling, ball, 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 ball. Goff turns around, LaPorta wide open over the top for, I think it was like a 30-some yard.
Yeah, touchdown. They got it from the Green Bay game.
That's where he picked it up from. When he saw how the Bears reacted to Daniels fumbling on accident, obviously, he then put this in against the Bears. And it's just, to me, it's such a smack in the face. Like, of course. Who are you going to practice this trick play against where your players are pretending to fall down and fumble the ball? You're going to practice against the Bears. And not only are you going to practice it, it's going to work perfectly for a 30-yard strike to LaPorta.
Yeah, you would think they would try to maybe use it.
Bears are going to have a top 10 pick, aren't they?
It looks like it. I mean, they got Giants look like they're really pushing for the one pick, right?
Yeah, the Raiders won, so.
And I'm thinking, is this going to be Sanders in New York? Is that what
they're Sanders going number one.
And that's probably going to be to the Giants. I mean, that's the way that's He's looking. That's going to be a disaster.
What about the Carolina Panthers with another win in overtime? They're starting to come along a little bit.
Bryce Young.
They stink. I'm done with it. Carolina, well, what happened to... You kept riding with them on the covers, and just last week they blew it up. Not this week they won, but I'm talking about last week they had a bad week. All of this talk about Carolina, they have a couple sneaky covers.
How come I ain't been getting the pick six?
This is you this week. The only caveat is we got to pick the Christmas games. We got to pick them. This is just like Thanksgiving. You got to pick those games. Caden and I
need the list.
Hey, Caden and I, rough week last week.
One?
No, I think we went 2-4. I didn't even look at it because a couple games fell apart on us. But we didn't have the best week. We
KU's didn't supposed to be good.
At 3-3 the week before. I mean, that's
I'm the only person who went 6-0.
You are correct. With a veto.
With a couple of vetoes.
Yeah. What? There might have been a multi.
Two vetoes.
I think there was two vetoes. What do you want? He's cheering for the Bulls as we do this pod.
They're down, only down by now.
Doing this pod Monday night, the eve of Christmas Eve. We're on December 23rd here. Yeah. And he's watching the Bulls. They're probably down by 20.
They're down by 9. All right.
Hang on. Before we get to pick six, we're moving on.
All right. I got two fantasy teams still alive.
You're supposed to give us a break so we can insert our sound effect. All right, forget about it. We don't need a sound effect. You come straight at us. What do you got? Give us this fantasy update because Caden's in a consolation championship.
Going for third in my big money league. So I already got my money back on plan for five.
$5?
$5,000. $2,500 for four, $5,000 for third. And my other league, I put up 211 this week to move on to the finals.
He's hung up on this 211 in a standard league. And that's got to be some kind of record.
Standard scoring 211. That's a big number. And I called up the guy that I'm playing, and we agreed to split the $1,000, $700, $300. We agreed to split it $500 down the middle. But Dave, since that I'm coming for you, I still want bragging rights. I still want my 20th championship. And I'm hoping to get it this next week.
What was the entry in that one? Is it like $100?
$100 and a quarter.
$125. Okay. Okay. So you guys, and in the big league, you're playing in a third place game.
And then Mondo, back to back champion in the auction league.
Is he in the championship?
He won it already. He won last week.
Oh, that already went to the championship.
It's over. Yeah, he won. He won last
Who ended up winning that? What was the name of the team?
El Baracho.
Oh, man. That was the guy that spent all his money early. His early money did not really pay off for him. It was the cheap stuff where he drafted smart with the dollar here.
Real good on the waiver wire. Mondo did real good on the waiver wire. Picked up a lot of guys for low dollars. Mondo's been around. He's pretty good at the auction. The auction's fairly new for me. That's only the second year we've done it. If anybody from Ford's listening, the only reason they did the auction league is because they couldn't beat me. Well, so now they did auction league to try and give them guys a more fair chance at drafting.
I'll tell you right now, the auction league, you had some bad luck in that league. The big bad luck time was Rashee Rice going down. Rashee Rice was going to be right there with Ja'Marr Chase this year in terms of his overall numbers. I don't know if Chase is getting the triple crown with Rashee Rice healthy this year. So that was a big drop off. And the other thing was it was one of those leagues where we drafted fairly decent, but the depth actually hurt you because you didn't know what to do with some of these guys.
Marvin Harrison Jr. Who scores 31 week and has one catch the next week.
Right. Harrison Jr. was I spent way too much money on him. And then I spent way too much money on Tyreek Hill. And the thing that kills me is I was feeling running back in that draft. I only rode Saquon up into the low 50s. And I should have taken Saquon went in the 50s. I should have spent on him. I wasn't feeling it because I wasn't sure with the new thing in Philly how much they were going to use. I just didn't know. That was my big mistake in that draft.
And that's a PPR league. I prefer the original standard scoring, no PPR. Hardly any leagues are like that. That's the reason I stay in this other league because he's one of the last guys that still plays straight standard fantasy football. Usually guys are either one league I play in, it's just a fun league, no money, but the guy does a half a point per carry for your running backs to try and even out the running back wide receiver thing. So he gives you a half a point of carry for your running back also. So a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, all of them should be six. There shouldn't be four for a passing touchdown ever. The guy catching the ball gets six. The guy throwing it should certainly get six. Why he only gets four and gets penalized, I'll never understand that. I think that's a terrible scoring system. Almost everybody does it now, but I totally disagree.
One of the things that gets me, and it makes Allen probably the most valuable fantasy football player out there, is that they underuse a lot of their players. I mean, we were big on Kincaid going into this year. I still think Kincaid has the tools to be a great tight end. They don't use him. I mean, they just don't. You watch game in and game out, he doesn't get the targets. They don't set up the offense for him, and I think he's really good. He was my big miss.
I sat him this week and played him. I mean, I played him this week and said Dalton Schultz, and Schultz had a better week.
Yeah, Kincaid just never – he never popped. He never popped all year. The other guy is that I think he's got to be one of the fastest – running backs in the league when he gets in space, and that's Cook. James Cook.
Yeah.
And Cook, you watch games and it's like 12 carries. 13 carries. I mean, what are they doing?
Well, Allen sucks up a lot of his carries.
I know he does. Well, that's what I'm saying. Allen gets that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Allen as a fantasy guy gets a lot of usage.
I think a big reason why Buffalo's had a lot of success because like the way that they spread.
If Allen spent time being a quarterback instead of a running back, James Cook might have.
Well, I mean, a big reason why everybody's not like everyone's not like fantasy wise like Kincaid or Cook is because everyone's getting opportunities.
It's true.
They're not really.
It's true, man. When you look, even their running backs, they got that Ray Davis. Then they got the kid that catches the ball. What's the kid that
catches? Johnson?
Ty Johnson. He's having a great year. The kid from Kentucky, I just mentioned him. He's having a good year behind them. I mean, they're using all these pieces. Maybe the coach knows something.
You got a whole bunch of them rushing touchdowns by Allen that are getting sniped.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They don't, on other teams, like even Baltimore. Lamar Jackson ain't sniping too many touchdowns from Derrick Henry. I mean, no. Henry's still getting plenty of touchdowns.
No, for sure. But that's the difference between a quarterback that weighs 190 pounds and one that weighs 225. That's what it is. I mean, that's why
Lamar used to run a lot more than he does.
Yeah. He still runs 800 yards.
When Lamar's been like throughout the years, I thought he'd get like a serious injury, but he's actually been like he's been smart. Like he hasn't really been like very stupid about himself that he would like get injured in serious injuries.
He has changed his game. I mean, he doesn't. Yeah, that's what I worry about with Daniels is that I saw an Instagram reel on some of the times he got popped in college, just some careless running, and those are the ones that scare me in the NFL. He's actually done fairly well this year, not getting popped too hard. But he has when he does, he's going to go down. He's too small, and if he leaves himself open, a safety coming from the secondary or something like that is going to take him out. And I hope he doesn't get hurt. I feel like that's going to be something he struggles with in his career. But yeah, the fantasy stuff, I mean, it's good to hear that a couple of your big money leagues you're still rolling in. Any closing thoughts on the fantasy season in terms of guys you had your most success with? I just felt like it was the bounce back year for the running backs. I mean, the wide receivers, once you got past Jamar Chase and maybe Jefferson,
again,
big fall off.
Again, my success and my strategy on teams that I typically win with, I go running back, and fill in with wide receivers. Well, a perfect example of that.
Whoa, hang on a second. Hold that thought. Is he eating?
Yeah, he's eating.
We don't eat while the pod's live. We're going to hear you on the mic. You've got the mic right up next to you, and you're licking your fingers. Come on, man. You couldn't wait another 15 minutes before you crack open a protein bar? What the heck is going on here? Go ahead. What are you gonna do? Go ahead. You're talking your fantasy stuff.
So I always draft running back, no matter what. Sometimes I'll even go three deep because you can pick up your guys like your Brian Thomas Juniors and guys like that down there in later rounds and be able to get by. There's not a lot of them out there, but there are guys out there. And like me, I've never, not because I don't like him, I think he's a great fantasy quarterback, I've never had Josh Allen on my team because he gets drafted too high.
Right.
I always take running back, possibly running back. Usually by that time, Allen's off the board. So he typically is either the first or second quarterback taken in a lot of drafts because he is a dual threat. I mean, Allen's a dual threat. And this year in particular has been a lot better with the football.
For sure.
Nowhere near the amount of turnovers, nowhere near the amount of dumb mistakes that he makes. Very hard for me to say that because I don't like the guy. But he's having a way, way better season this year, turnovers-wise, than he's ever had in his entire career.
All right, we're moving on from fantasy. All right, I got some good news and I got some bad news on the pick six. The good news is that this could be a rollover week. I'm looking at the top guy here is 5-1. We got one guy 5-0, the Spike Man. He's 5-0. Let's see what he's got tonight. Oh, boy. He looks good tonight. I was thinking, looks like he's going to go 6-0. He's got Green Bay covering the 13.5, and it's 21-0 Green Bay at the half. So, but the bad news is I don't think the lines are out for next week because this game's going on right now. I don't see it. They're not letting me make my picks. I don't see the games, really. What the
this
heck?
This is totally off topic, and I apologize, Dad. But are we ever going to go to a Bulls game?
Yes, we are going to go to a Bulls game.
I don't know. You never like to say it.
No, we've been busy. We haven't booked a Bulls game yet, but last year we went a couple times in the winter, and we'll do it again. Let's see if I can just bring up the games for next week and the lines, and then we can convert this. So we can convert this over to the pick six, okay? Because they should be up for the most.
I do want to say one more, Hayden. Here's what I got for my championship fantasy. Here's who I'm lined up against. If I can pull it up.
You're jumping back to fantasy.
Just real quick, I want to see if Kate thinks I'm gonna win or if I'm gonna lose. Waiting for my team to pull up here.
Dude, we should pick every game. All right, I got him up. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you run through this. But I got to tell you, I'm on the they got to launch our spreads here soon. We're going to go with these picks. I just got to convert them, so let's not forget them. I might have to listen back here. All right. Let me know when you're ready with that. But the Christmas Day game at noon on Netflix.
That's going to crash.
Chiefs Steelers. I know, that's totally going to crash. Anytime Netflix tries to do something live, total crash.
The luck.
Every time.
The luck is running out for Patrick Mahomes.
Against the Steelers? The Steelers
I think the Steelers.
No. KC's
Steelers.
Favored by 3.
Steelers.
All right, we're picking the Steelers.
No,
I'm not,
I got the phone.
Are you veto?
I don't support your veto. I'm not double vetoing that game. I like it. You know what?
Out!
I like it. All right, next game. Christmas Day, 3:30, Netflix.
Let me guess what the game is. It's Texans and it's the Ravens.
Correct.
Ah.
Very good. And this looks like, let me see where these games are. Okay, that game's at Pitt. This game is in Houston. Baltimore favored by 5.5 in Houston. Baltimore favored by 5.5 in Houston.
In Houston.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We got to pick them.
It's only two games.
That would normally be a stay away. We got to pick them. We got to pick these games. What's the difference? I mean,
you know what?
Who do you like there?
I've been riding a big horse dog all year. Big number 22, Derrick Henry brings it down. I take Baltimore that game.
Yeah, Houston's crushed.
That.
Covering the 5.5.
I mean, Houston's crushed. Like, take
the,
like,
the only way we get a double veto is if we really don't like something that you're doing. Now, the Thursday game, oh, man. We got a real doozy here. The Thursday game is on Amazon Prime.
We have to pick this one, too?
Oh, yeah.
You said only the Christmas
games. No, these special games we got to pick.
We never pick
when a Thursday. When did this come in?
Hey, last time. Hey, we got the lucky.
All right, what's the Thursday?
Think about what we did last time. Undefeated on Thanksgiving. Then we hit
Thursday?
Then we hit on Black Friday. This is the only time we've ever won by doing this. We got to do it again. Thursday, Seahawks at Bears.
Bears.
Seahawks
favored.
Seahawks.
By 3.5.
Have to win. They're in a dogfight in their division. Bears are playing for nothing.
Seahawks covered. Seahawks covered 3.5. I'm not going to veto that. The Bears. I mean, I.
Peyton, why would you think that
the Bears can
do anything?
I would have thought that would have been a little bit wider, honestly. I thought you'd be talking about.
Because you
think
they're going to win a game at all this year?
All right,
no,
now,
I think they're done.
If I force Saturday picks on you, because it's Saturday, too.
No, I got Saturday, too.
I'm not going to force those on you because there's 3 games. You'd have your 6 done.
All right, let's do it.
Chargers in New England, Chargers favored by 4. You don't have to pick this.
Chargers.
Unless you want to.
New England played Buffalo pretty tough last week.
A lot of first downs.
In cold weather.
Drake May was moving the ball. The Chargers have not been looking
good. Chargers defense ain't been looking that good. I'm going to pass on that game. I'm not going to.
I don't mind that. All right. All right. Now, this is an interesting line. The Broncos in Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored 3.5. I've been riding the Bengals, man. The Bengals been covering.
You know what? I don't think Paul Nix has seen a defense that good this year. Pass! That's for you, Schumacher.
Pass! Defense that good. The Bengals defense is awful.
Bengals got good defense.
It's terrible. Are you kidding me? Dude, Joe Burrow's having a great season.
And they got good offense.
They got good offense. The Bengals are trying to sneak in.
For some reason, if I pick against Denver, they'll burn me, so I'm passing.
The Broncos are a tough one. All right, we got the Cardinals at the Rams. The Rams are favored by 5.5.
5.5.
Cardinals have been off.
At Rams?
Yeah.
I'm okay taking the Rams in that game. I think they win
the division. I like the Patriots.
I would take the Rams there. All right, let's keep running.
I don't know about that.
You're not vetoing? Because it wouldn't matter, because I wouldn't support the veto on that. I wouldn't. You got to feel strongly. If you're vetoing a guy's picks that's got the phone, you got to feel strongly about it. Like, we knew right away when he tried to go with the Giants, we both go, veto!
Veto!
Immediately wiped that out.
Veto.
Immediately.
That was a double veto. You're out.
The Giants. They might be the only team.
Who are they playing this week?
Worse run than the Chicago Bears.
What are they playing this week?
And we'll get to them. We still got some stuff to go through. We got the Jets at the Bills. What do you think the line is on this one? Bills favored by 10. Jets at the Bills. Bills favored by 10.
This is the kind of game that the Jets can cover in.
It is. Do you want to pick? But do you want to put?
I'm pissed.
I was going to say, do you want to put a pick? On the Jets.
No, absolutely not.
I can see the Bills. I could easily see the Bills winning a dirty game just like they just did. Yes. The Bills can certainly do that. Bills need to get into a high-powered offensive game, they get into a high-powered offensive game. They just kind of do. They kind of play to their
home. I agree.
Thank you. All right, we got Titans at the Jaguars. I don't even need to say the line. Stay away.
What's the line?
Jacksonville favored by a point. Tennessee in Jacksonville. The AFC South, you just have to stay away from these games.
Trash game, stay away.
You can't. What could you possibly predict about that game? They're both teams are 3-12.
Tank Bigsby. Probably will have a big game.
I mean, there's just nothing in a game like that. Okay, here's an interesting game. The Panthers in Tampa. Tampa favored by 8.5. What do you think? Probably stay away from it. I mean, Panthers been covering.
Big money Mike.
You think Tampa's going to cover 8.5?
No, I'm staying away.
The South Division.
You always think Carolina stinks, though. They stink, they stink, they stink, and then you don't want to go?
They do stink. What they're doing right now is they're playing like this loose brand of football, you know, when your season's over already, and you finally start playing this loose brand of football. When you got to win, if they had to win, forget about it.
Yeah, look, Keenan Allen's at the Bulls game right now.
He's representing
Keenan Allen is
having a good season. I'll tell you who's not to me. Keenan Allen catches touchdowns.
You see
Moore, I don't know, man. I don't know about Moore as a number one. He makes easy catches hard. I don't like that. I don't. He's always jumping to catch balls he doesn't need to jump for and stuff. It's just
that bad. Odunze had two fumbles yesterday.
Bad quarterbacks. A lot of bad QBs.
Who, Moore?
He's got 1,000 yards with some terrible.
That's true. Fields being one of them. Keenan Allen has to have a very high touchdown catch rate, meaning that it seems like every three catches he's got, one of them's a touchdown. He's not a high volume catch guy this year, but he's got a lot of touchdown catches, it seems like. I mean, if Williams has thrown 19, 20 touchdowns, Allen's got to have 7.
I was looking even at a guy like Mike Evans. He's got 9 receiving touchdowns and he missed 4 games. That's huge.
And that's what you get with a guy like Baker.
9 receiving touchdowns.
Guy like Baker that's just firing the ball all over the place all game. Anybody you're open, he's firing it to you.
I feel like Keenan's like growing. Like he started out growing.
How many touchdowns has Chase got?
16. I don't even have to look it up. I just saw it that he's got 16 touchdowns.
Receiving?
Yeah.
I feel like can't.
Is there anybody close to him
I
next?
I don't think so. I think the next guy up's like 12. I think that's who. I'm pretty sure. It could be 14, but I think it's 16. I just looked at it. We'll look at it in a second. All right, we got to keep going. There's a lot of games left here. We got Raiders at the Saints.
Saints?
And we got.
Hold on. What about
real quick.
What, are you going with this Tampa game?
No, what about... How come no mention of Saquon Barkley for MVP?
It was. They were getting hot on that for a couple weeks.
I mean, this guy's got a legit shot.
And then he had a couple games where he just... And again, like this week, misses a big pass in a big spot. You know, then he had a couple of weeks where he quieted down a little bit. But I agree. I mean, Saquon, it's just not the way the league has gone. The way the league is going is when you have a year like Saquon or like Tyreek did last year, he's going to win Offensive Player of the Year, and then the MVP.
You may as well just have a quarterback award.
It's pretty much what it is.
Award. I mean, you may as well not even have an MVP.
That's pretty much what it's been. Now, if he, I guess he could end up having a shot because if he breaks the single season record.
Let me tell you right now, if the Eagles or the Ravens win the Super Bowl, the reason they're going to win is because of the running backs, not the quarterbacks. Those guys are the most valuable players on the team.
I don't know, man. I think it's the quarterback. I really do, man. If you don't have a quarterback in this league, you ain't winning. And
you don't think Mac Jones and them guys can turn around and stick it in Henry's chest?
No.
25 to 30 times a game and no. Win consistently.
Especially that case because Henry benefits from Lamar just as much as Lamar benefits from Henry. There's a lot of times that Henry sees holes that he never used to see because they think Lamar is going to go one way or the other with the ball.
Still 5 yards of
carry. I like Kate. I've never said I like Henry. I think he's awesome. I'm just telling you, when you watch those games, he sees some pockets that he never used to see because he's got a quarterback like Lamar back there that they got to worry about running just as much as they got to worry about him running. It makes a big difference for him. I just think when you look at the league, there's teams that win and don't have great running backs, but the team, you got to have a quarterback. You got to. There's no team that gets deep without him. I just don't see it. Even Purdy, who people can say one thing or the other about, he is pretty calm, cool, and collected, and he makes plays. He doesn't make a lot of stupid mistakes, and he puts the ball where it needs to be most of the time, and his team was in the Super Bowl last year. But really, even like Burrow almost like this Chase Brown guy came out of nowhere. I mean, I feel like no matter who you put back there with him, his offense is going to put up big numbers. Allen, you know, Cook's a good back, but they don't even use him that much, and they're still winning. You know, I just think that, and I'm with you, I think the running back's very valuable. I just don't think it's as valuable as the QB. Let's keep pushing. We got Raiders at Saints. Saints favored by 1.5.
Do we still got a game to pick?
Because
I like the Raiders in that game.
We got a few games left because we picked.
I like the Raiders in that game, but I don't know if I'm going to put the marbles on the Raiders. That's
no, I wouldn't. Cowboys at Eagles. Eagles favored.
Give me some input on
Eagles favored by 9.5. Eagles favored by 9.5 against the Cowboys.
That's a division game. 9.5 is too giant of a number. I'm staying away.
Stay away? Okay. Colts at the Giants. Colts favored by 8. That's the team. If it's a team you don't want.
Why am I going against Jonathan Taylor in the championship this week against the Giants? He's going to have a field day.
That's not necessarily true. Taylor's completely hit or miss. You don't know what you're
45 doing. Last week. You better not put one of them up.
It's probably the only reason you're playing against whoever you're playing against is Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor ended some seasons.
I'm taking the Colts.
You're going Colts?
I'm taking the Colts in the 8. The Giants are absolutely the worst football team in the NFL.
Dolphins?
They're terrible. They stink.
Dolphins at the Browns. Dolphins favored by 6.5. The Browns stink. The Browns are awful. But it's in Cleveland. I stay away. Tua's like, he's like mummified in cold weather.
The Browns suck.
You think you want to go with the Dolphins?
No. How many games we got picked so far?
We're going to go back through them. We probably got 4 or 5.
Is this the last game?
No.
All right. For now, I'm passing for you. Pass.
We got many more games here. We got the Packers at the Vikings, and we got the Vikings favored by 1.5.
In Minnesota?
In Minnesota. Man, these are tough games.
I like the Vikings in that game.
Do you? I don't like them enough to pick them either. Falcons at the Commanders. Commanders favored by 4. This is Sunday Night Football.
The Commanders are my guys.
Win number 11 for the Washington Commanders. They cover against the
over Bears. My guy Penix.
Over Penix.
Penix, I'm telling you, Penix is the guy for that team, man. Penix looks good.
He did look good.
Penix looks good. Okay.
That's a guy that's a walking injury waiting to happen.
I know. Well, he's already, he's had both of his knees blown out already. I mean, he, you know.
We remember when we were kids, though, Frank Gore, that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, he blew his knee in college. He's got no chance of playing. 15 years as a running back in the NFL.
And his son is good.
I'll tell you, I feel a lot better about a quarterback with knee injuries than I do running backs. You know what I mean? Like, if a quarterback rehab him, they're strong. All they got to do is plant. He's not going to be a guy running all over the place.
Penix is
good. Not a lot. He did not even run a lot in college. Penix is a pocket passer, and he throws lasers. He's a guy, you give him some time, he'll put the ball where it needs to be. He's an accurate passer.
I've noticed that there's not really like a lot of, consistent good lefty quarterbacks that like don't get injured a lot.
I agree with that. Is Steve Young probably the greatest lefty of all time, you think? I mean, I'm trying.
Am I missing
somebody? There's not. I mean, Steve Young, though, he was awesome.
What about Mike Vick?
I would put Michael Vick behind Steve Young, but Michael Vick, I still think, is the greatest
right hander. Dog killer.
That's pretty much it. But he when Michael Vick was at the Falcons, if the Falcons were playing, you had to watch Michael Vick. Okay, I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's Courtney on there. Would have been 20 if my dog kills yours.
Dude, those guys were, he was running a major dog fight.
Yeah, a dog killing thing.
It wasn't a dog killing thing. A dog fighting thing. And when the dogs lose, then it goes to your turn.
We used to play fantasy football. This one guy's team name was always QB Dog Killer.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Vic had a rough end to his career, but if you remember, he came back from that, and he played in Philly, and he had good years.
Well, get him, dog fighting?
Why is that illegal? Like,
dog fighting?
Yeah, like...
Oh, my God.
Would you like to see your dog enter against a pit bull?
Mom might have to be on the edit machine.
Kid, put your dog under and get some pit bull.
Dude, people are gambling on it. People's pets are fighting to the death. All right,
kid, your dog's in there against mine. I got 20. I mean, come on.
You know what guys were doing? I'm not kidding you, but I'll have to show you a real sports thing on this. When their dogs lost at Michael Vick's compound and stuff, they were electrocuting them and doing, yes. Yeah. And because their dog lost, they would just kill their dog.
Hey, they had an electric shock machine at her. They go like, "This my dog sucks."
This is the saddest stuff.
Brutal.
They're killing these dogs, and then a lot of these dogs they tried.
Did they go to jail for that?
They went to jail. Yeah. Dude, it was a major compound he had.
To be dog killer.
Didn't
know that, kid?
No.
I'll show you the real sports.
I heard of it, but I didn't know he killed them.
Yes, he killed them.
Yes. Caden, these dog fights are brutal.
The guy's team that he's going against.
Oh, he's finally got this up? What are you
wearing? Sam Darnold.
Hang on. Are you on AOL over there? Are you on AOL dial-up?
Sam Darnold's his quarterback. Mike Evans.
AOL dial-up. When you said that back in the day, you had to dial it up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sam Darnold, Mike Evans, Jamar Chase, Jerry Judy, Chase Brown, Jonathan Taylor, George Kittle, Kenneth Walker III, Justin Tucker, Buffalo defense.
Pretty good team.
My team, right here. Jaden Daniels, Brian Thomas Jr., Devonta Smith, Terry McLaurin, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Blake Bowers, James Cook, Sanders, my kicker, got 21, and the Atlanta defense.
It's going to be close. I think that's going to be a close game. I think that's going to be close. I think I'm curious.
I could pick out. I got Adam Thielen also.
Kittle's kind of a sleeper in there. Kittle's kind of a sleeper for him. I like your Bowers.
I got LaPorta too. I could go double tight end.
You can?
I can, but I'd have to sit James Cook.
Yeah, no, I like your backs. Your backs are super strong. And your wide receivers are sleepers, like guys that their names don't pop out, but Brian Thomas Jr. catches a lot of footballs. And McLaurin, that guy's been catching touchdowns week in and week out. He's got to be second to Chase in touchdowns, don't you think? That guy catches a lot of touchdowns.
How many touchdowns has he got?
I don't know. It seems like he's got a touchdown every week. Every time I look up, McLaren's catching him. He had a couple of stinker weeks, but overall he's been very good. All right, we need to go back. We need to cover all of our picks right here. Hey, the last one, you want a shot at the Lions at the Niners with the Lions favored by 3.5? Lions at the Niners? Lions favored by 3.5?
I like Lions.
I agree.
You going Lions?
I think I'll take the Lions in that game.
All right, so we got Steelers over the Chiefs getting 3.
Can I pick another game?
You gotta stay away from it.
No, right. It's Christmas.
You can skip it, I guess, as long as you take one.
We gotta have that game, right?
Steelers. Texans. You could pick the Chiefs covering 3. I mean, you know.
I think I'm gonna reverse. I want to take the Chiefs.
You're going Chiefs? Okay. Chiefs covering 3.
What are you thinking?
I like both.
How could you like both?
You gotta pick both games.
Oh, I thought you were saying like.
Oh, I took the Chiefs over instead of Pittsburgh.
I'm saying you said you gotta pick both games.
Yes, who do you like in the game?
I like the Chiefs and I like the Ravens.
Okay, we're gonna go with that.
That's what I had, right? I switched to the Chiefs.
We got the Chiefs covering 3. We got the Ravens covering 5.5. We got the Seahawks covering 3.5 against the Bears. That's 3.
That's a game. Okay. That's the easiest cover.
We did not pick Chargers, Patriots, Broncos, Bengals, Cardinals, Rams. We picked the Rams over the Cardinals at home, covering 6.
Okay.
We did not pick Jets, Bills, Titans, Jaguars, Panthers, Bucks, Raiders, Saints, Cowboys, Eagles, Colts over the Giants. You had covering 8.
Shoot it.
Then we had, and then you closed with
Lions.
With the Lions. Unless you didn't. Did you want the Falcons Commanders game? I think you stayed away from that. Falcons Commanders. Commanders favored by 4. I think you stayed away. You went
I like the Commanders.
You like that better than the Lions?
No.
Stick with the Lions? All right, that's 6.
Who do you like better?
I don't like the Commanders winning that game. I think Commanders lose that game. I think the Falcons.
You're against the Commanders.
I think the Falcons win that game. Penix looked good, and he didn't. And he wasn't like he didn't throw any touchdowns, and they won by like 27 points.
They were playing the Giants. The Giants stink.
I want to see more of Penix, and I think the Commanders. If the Commanders win the game, I don't think it's a big. I don't think it's like a blowout. I think maybe.
Yeah, but the Commanders got to win. They still got a chance to win that division.
Why does every time I see they make a shot?
I don't think.
Well, they still have a chance to win that division.
10-5. The Eagles are like 12-3, aren't they? So that's a stretch, and they split with the Eagles. So yeah, I don't think they're winning the division. We got them. I got the picks. I got the picks. We're in. Chiefs, Ravens, Seahawks, Rams, Colts. That's the one that scares me, that Colts pick. And the Lions. That's what we're going.
24-0.
Yeah, that game. That guy's going to go 6-0. He's got a solo 6-0 unless the, what is it? They got to get within, who are they playing? They got to get within 13.5.
Spencer Rattler.
Oh, God.
They're playing 72 yards.
It's cold.
All right, we're moving on.
The Pack. Jordan Love ain't having that great of a game.
I want to say something.
22 for 136.
I want to say something, man. This guy was my favorite baseball player growing up. Ricky Henderson, gone too early at 65 years old. He was my favorite, man. He was like, this guy brought style to the game when no one else did, man, with the green batting gloves and the strut and all the cool stuff.
Sunglasses.
Oh, man, he was so cool.
One thing you could also say about Ricky is if he got on first, chances are your team started out with a double a whole lot of times. I mean, Henderson would go out there and swipe that bag. Powerful leadoff hitter, switch hitter.
Dude, 85, I think it was 85 home runs to lead off a game. A career, think about a career spanning 22 years, over 400 on-base percentage. Unbelievable.
For his whole career.
His whole career. 401 on-base percentage. Most runs scored of all time. Most runs scored of all time. And they said that was the biggest thing about Ricky was getting on base. Guy like Vince Coleman, guys like that, they could never steal as many bags as Ricky over the course of a career because no one could get on base like Ricky.
I mean,
You got a guy for 25 years, four out of every 10 times he comes up, he's on base. That's unheard of.
Here's the one paragraph that I saw that there's a lot of stuff written about him, but this one to me was cool. Henderson died Friday at age 65. He was the bad guy in that movie. They were talking about him as a comparison to Goodfellas. He said, and sure, he brought it on himself. He whined about being underpaid. He often referred to himself in the third person. He wore fluorescent green batting gloves. He popped his collar and shimmied on home run trots. He slashed the air after catching fly balls, his glove like Zorro's blade. And all of it, the contract stuff notwithstanding, was awesome. This guy says, in my way of playing the game, people have called me a hot dog, Henderson once said, but I call it bringing some style or entertainment to the people. I enjoy going out there and exciting the fans because I feel like they come out here to see some excitement. He was cool, man. And they had Harold Reynolds was on telling a story saying 1 year Henderson got hurt early, and he only ended up stealing like 50 bases that year or something. And Harold Reynolds ended up winning the stolen base championship that year with 60 stolen bases. And he said, I got a call from Ricky, and I thought Ricky was calling to congratulate me. And Ricky called me and said, Harold, Ricky has 60 by all-star break. So instead of congratulating him, and then he said Ricky sent him some kind of like a poster or something that was signed and said something like, you know, lowest or weakest stolen base champ of all time or something. But he calls him after the guy wins it, and he only won it by one stolen base. Harold Reynolds out, you know, got somebody by one stolen base at the end of the year, and you're getting a call from the greatest base stealer of all time, and he says, Ricky would have had 60 by all-star break. And you had your story about Ricky. I remember when you told me the story about Ricky when you used to go get autographs.
Oh, yeah, he's always.
And he just said, and it,
he'd pull up at Sox Park in a panel van. I mean, he knew people down there, and he didn't want nobody to ever see him. So he'd be looking, screw me or something, he'd say, Ricky Henderson's coming in. All of a sudden, a panel van opens up the side door, and Henderson gets out. Walks inside of the old, junky, like, rusted-out panel van. He'd get out.
Ricky don't sign on Sundays.
Ricky don't sign on Sundays.
The greatest story of Ricky Henderson, which was, I think it was on a 30 for 30 or something. The greatest story of Ricky Henderson was when he framed his $1 million bonus check from the Oakland A's, and accounting called him 6 months later and told him, Ricky, you never cashed that bonus check. He said, oh, Ricky framed that. Framed $1 million bonus check. He had to get a call from accounting before he realized he had to put it in the bank. I mean, Ricky was an all-time character, man. And it's just, he'll be missed. I remember when we went to the Hall of Fame, he was like one of the first plaques I went looking for.
A guy like him in today's game would be like the most valuable player out there. I mean, nobody does what Henderson did. You know, and I was talking to a guy the other day about baseball because, you know, Caden and some of these guys have never seen it. Baseball, when me and you were kids, was dead, man. I mean, it was in the 90s, baseball was dead. And they would turn their head, and literally let Sosa and McGuire bring the game back and then throw these guys down the river. Those guys saved the game of baseball.
100% they did. And I'll tell you what, now that we bring that up and say rest in peace to Ricky Henderson. You know, I'm glad Sammy's coming back. Sammy deserves some respect. Sammy, one of the greatest offensive players of all time.
Steroids or not, you got a guy like Rafael Palmeiro. 500 homers and 3,000 hits, and this guy's not in the Hall of Fame.
Sammy had three seasons. Only guy ever with 360-plus home run seasons. Sammy, I mean, I'm glad that this is happening with the Cubs because he deserves it. He needs to be part of the franchise. That guy needs a statue of him doing the hop. I remember when he came out running, carrying that little American flag after 9/11. Sammy Sosa was a star.
Right now, him and McGuire single-handedly saved baseball.
Baseball's attendance was down. Their viewership was down. Their ratings were down on TV. Everything was down
Chips
for baseball.
Dig the long ball, save the game.
Exactly. Exactly.
And those two guys, or the reason why the game was saved, McGuire and Sosa both, and baseball peed right down your throat.
I want those guys in the Hall of Fame. I've said it before. What do you got? On the air.
Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson is expected to be interviewed for the Bears head coaching job.
It's breaking that they're actually going to interview him, but I think we knew that he was going to be one of the considerations. And again, I'm not against. Think about it, Clay.
I really like that pick.
I don't. It's not my first choice, but again, at least it's
I don't
not.
Like
dude,
offensive-minded head coach.
But these guys, the Bears, they're capable of bringing somebody in from the Canadian League or something. I mean, that's how dumb this franchise has been. We need somebody that's at least got a proven track record in the NFL in some way, shape, or form. I just need to see some positive traction from this team, from this organization, some positive decision-making. Again, I don't want to beat that drum too much, but I think it's Vrabel, but this Johnson guy or this Flores guy, hey, at least we're getting some of the top guys that we could think
out
of.
Those three
I'm
guys,
worrisome.
Out of those three guys, if I had to pick, I would probably take Flores.
Man, I just...
Flores is a stud.
Vrabel's coming from that Belichick tree, too. Belichick just, he had a different way about him. And like I said, he's already shown the ability to pick coordinators.
I don't think Flores will ever get hired because of what happened to him and the way he...
Yeah, you might,
NFL and stuff.
You might be right about that.
I don't think he'll ever get hired again. But
he may not. I mean, but he did. He had success, and that's what you need to see. So he might, and that would be a Bears type hire, right? A guy's controversial. Never thought he'd coach again. That'll be maybe a Bears type pick.
Well,
but
yeah, then Ben Watson,
look,
against the NFL.
These guys are out there, and I'm telling you right now. This is the time for Vrabel because otherwise he was going back to New England. If this Mayo, they're keeping Mayo another year. If they decided to cut Mayo, he was almost for sure going to New England.
I'm going to tell you where I think Vrabel's going.
No, because it better be Chicago.
Ohio State.
What
well, no, because they're winning, dude. They won.
Ryan
they said
Day
was gone, but Ryan they didn't beat Tennessee.
Out.
But Ohio State might make a run here.
Ryan Day's out.
For sure? I don't know. I don't think
they win the whole thing.
I don't think he's going to college, dude. No way. That Belichick thing is weird. I don't understand him going to college. Other than the fact maybe he's got a couple girlfriends in the college. You see,
Belichick's going to turn that organization around. He's going to bring an NFL mentality to college football.
You know he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's ridiculous. That's absurd. He's gonna be picking up girls in college, practically. And then all of a sudden he goes and coaches college? I don't know. It's kind of creepy to me. I don't get it. But I agree with you. Belichick is probably going to do some good things in North Carolina. I don't understand. He's 14 shy of all-time NFL record in wins from Shula. He's 14 wins shy. I can't believe at his age he's going to coach in college. I can't believe no one's giving this guy a job in the pros.
Does anything surprise you with a guy like Belichick?
I mean, really?
Yeah, a 24-year-old girlfriend for him does surprise. Gaten said it right. He said, I could have seen like a Pete Carroll with a young girl or something. Not
you got
Belichick.
This right here. You got Belichick.
He's a bump on
the
wall.
He was a coach of the Browns. He stunk. Couldn't get back in football at all. So my guy, Charlie the Tuna Parcells, steps down to give the guy a job.
And he left.
And he stabs him in the back and goes to New England. And he becomes one of the best coaches of all time.
Parcells loved Belichick. You know, I mean,
Parcells
had a hell of a coaching tree. I'll tell you that right now.
That's my favorite coach of all time. Big
Parcells was
awesome.
He was one of my favorites too. I thought he was great. I would like to see the Bears finally change
course.
You think
there's any amount of money that could get the old dog out of retirement, Parcells? You think he would ever come back and coach?
No,
ever?
He's too old. He's just too old, man. Parcells got to be like 80. Annie, how old do you think Parcells is?
I don't know, but you know what he said? Football's changed. I can't coach anymore.
He's probably right. It has changed. And the analytics stuff and just the way everything's managed now.
It's like everybody goes on fourth down.
Who's the best coach in the league right now in your
Campbell.
I have to say Andy Reid. No,
you think Reid?
No questions asked. Andy Reid.
No, the refs.
Some good coaches out there. Reid, you're probably right because he's got the track record. I think McVay's pretty good.
Like,
I mean, if you're looking at a guy
long-term,
he's going to be around. Campbell.
Campbell takes too many chances.
Campbell's interesting. Campbell, to me, is a guy I certainly wouldn't mind running a team for me. I mean, I think
he's not such a good coach. He's like a motivator.
I like him.
I like
him
Campbell,
a lot. But
I think Campbell's goofy. I think he cost Detroit a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
I agree with you, though, on Reid. Reid's a good call. And then it's probably legitimately Probably Tomlin after that. And then I go to McVay.
Tomlin would be my next choice.
Maybe I'm missing some guys. Maybe I'm missing somebody.
Mike Tomlin's a stud coach.
Tomlin's an awesome coach. But Reed, they put together creativity, man.
Yeah,
I feel like he can win with a lot of different types of teams, Reed. You know, I mean, their creativity in the red zone offensively is there. He knows, hey.
Who's his offensive coordinator?
Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy!
Hey, nobody says the Bears.
Matt Nagy.
The Bears.
Oh, he couldn't do nothing with the Bears. He goes to Kansas City. 14-1.
They have good. The Bears take. That's what worries me about the Bears taking another coordinator, like you said with Johnson. That's what worries me. Because they bring
in. Nagy wasn't that bad. I mean,
Eberflus was terrible.
I liked him.
He was terrible. Eberflus was terrible. Trestman was the worst. I think Trestman was the worst coach they had.
Dude,
Caleb Williams is breaking all kinds of records right now.
That's how terrible the Bears quarterback is.
Dude, he's breaking all kinds of records. He's over three. He's probably gonna throw for 3,500 plus yards. He hasn't thrown an interception in 325 attempts.
That's impressive.
I mean, he's rolling with that, man. I think he's probably thinking about it now, like you said, maybe thinking, I'll just take the sack at this point. So if he could go the rest of the season and not throw another pick.
He don't have many picks, does he?
Five picks.
Five?
They were all
early. Last time we do a pick in the U.S.
They were all early in the season. It's hard to go that long without throwing picks because normally, look what happened to Penix. Throws a perfect pass to Kyle Pitts. The guy fumbles it over to the defender.
Bears back in the game, kid.
It's picked. What?
No, they lost.
No, the Bulls ain't back in the game.
They beat the Celtics.
The Bulls played phenomenal.
But then they got crushed.
Then Tatum comes back, drops 40 on them. They lose.
He had a 40 and a triple.
What do you got to say?
I'm just saying.
We're shutting this thing down, dude. We're like an hour 15 on this.
I'm just saying. I think that it's impressive that he's not having a lot of interceptions. But also, he's taking a lot of shots, too.
That's why he's not throwing interceptions. He's taking
a lot of shots downfield. He throws the ball deep, but
if you win,
he don't connect on any of them.
But hey, I'm saying it's impressive that he's not throwing picks.
Here's a point to be made, though. He does get sacked a lot, but he ain't hurt. That's durability.
He gets up and he acts like Mahomes.
Nobody does it more than Mahomes. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. He grimaces, but supposedly Mahomes had a high ankle sprain. Anybody else in football with a high ankle sprain, they've got 3 weeks. Mahomes is back 6 days later, and he's running.
They got the special juice in there.
This is
steroids.
The Mahomes, after week 15 every year, again, I love the guy. I think he's the greatest I've ever seen. Stop with the limping around. We don't need it. It's not necessary, and it's a bunch of BS. He was doing it last year, and then all of a sudden he'd take off for a 35-yard run when he needed it.
I'm sorry.
If your ankle is hurt, you're not taking off and beating NFL defenders out in the clear. No way. You're not doing it.
It's just these
injuries that he comes up with.
It's like
Jordan's flu game. You know what I mean? This is nonsense. This is not.
No, Jordan actually, he was throwing
up. Michael's got the flu. They took a hair dryer and put it on the thermometer in there and said, I got 100.
Pippen's holding him off the court. He goes down, he throws down a big dunk, and then Pippen's got to drag him off the court.
He comes down court, puts it in between the legs, passes, dunks it, and then next thing he's on dead storm.
He's on Pippen's shoulder.
Gabe, help me get off the center court with you. Come on.
Oh, man. All right, we're going to shut this down. Thank you guys for listening.
Hey, did you watch the Celtics-Laker thing on Netflix?
No.
Oh, it's good.
Dude. Is it like a thing about their rivalry?
Harry Magic.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of the debate show, that's the one we got to bring in the old man back, and then maybe we'll bring in the Godfather. I heard the Godfather wants to come back on. I've been hearing rumors about that. Oh, Pepe's going to get back on, sure. But that would be a good debate show, would be to talk about Magic and Bird, because everybody's got different opinions on them, and mine has swayed over the years looking back at things, man. I mean,
what did the genius say? Magic?
I can't remember what he said. Did I hit him with Magic first, Bird?
You did.
I can't remember. But, hey, we're going to shut this one down tonight. Thank you guys for listening, and we are coming up on Christmas, so I hope everyone has a great holiday weekend and a great new year with your families. I'm not sure when the next pod's coming. We might get one out between Christmas and the new year. There's certainly plenty of sport content out there. We got college football playoffs. We got the NFL season closing out. We're in the middle of the NBA season. We've got a lot of stuff going on, so we'll have plenty to talk about. Thank you so much for listening. You guys have a great night.